Well, thank you very much indeed for that extraordinarily warm welcome. I'm always very grateful to get a clap before I speak, because you can't always guarantee one after you've spoken. But there we go. Here we are. Hands up if you've ever studied geography. Very good. Well, there's a few brave folk out there. I studied geography at Durham, which was the most fantastic place to be. And I remember taking part in a project which is all about places and why some places are different than other places. Places feel different. And as I was thinking about how different places feel different, we were then thinking about why do some places feel different in the daytime? Then they can feel very different at nighttime. If you think about your own travels around the capital or wherever it is you come from, a town centre at daytime feels different from a town centre at nighttime when the shops are shut. A car park can feel very different at nighttime than it does in the daytime. Or indeed an open space can feel extremely different depending upon the time of day that you go through. For those of you who know Hackney, the church where I was based, St John at Hackney, had a very large churchyard around it. It was a building in the middle that was designed to seat 2,200 people. It was a very large building indeed. And around it was this glorious churchyard. It was reclaimed churchyard in the fact that all the gravestones had been moved to the sides to give that great sense of park. And I remember having several debates, particularly with the council and with others, about how do we make our green open spaces safer. And the various people from the council used to say to me, well, Rob, they used to say, what's your problem? We come out there during the day, it all feels lovely. We're sitting there having our sandwiches. We go to the cafe. The kids go and play in the playground. But of course, for many, walking through a churchyard at nighttime can be a very different experience. In fact, there were many, many people I came across who would refuse to walk through the churchyard because of the fears that they might have. And I wonder about you. I wonder if you've ever changed your direction of travel because you've been frightened to walk through some particular area at nighttime because the darkness can seem quite oppressive. Perhaps you might travel home a different route. Tonight's gospel, and actually much of John's gospel, let's keep that imagery of darkness and light in the back of our minds. Because today we come across Nicodemus. Nicodemus is found at this particular moment in the shadows. And I wonder, as we contemplate this extraordinary gospel reading from John's gospel, let's think about your shadows. What do you do in the shadows? What do you do at night that's different from what you do in the daytime? How does the light and the darkness differ for you? The shadows can be extraordinarily exciting places. The shadows can be dreadfully scary places. What does the word shadow mean for you? As we work through John's gospel, the theme which is so strong is going from darkness to light. John has this extraordinarily beautiful way of drawing people into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Time and time again, as you work through the gospel readings, you are drawn into this extraordinary relationship. It's almost as if John's telling the stories. He's trying to catch you and draw you in because the place of the relationship in the light is so extraordinarily wonderful. He wants you to be there. So as he tells you the story, he's imagining in his mind, let's not forget, he's had several decades to actually write this gospel, to contemplate on what the life with Jesus Christ was like. As he's done that reflection, that contemplation, it's all about drawing you in to that extraordinary relationship with Jesus Christ, taking you out from a place of darkness into the most extraordinarily wonderful light. Because for John and those readers of John's gospel, the darkness was a symbol of sin, a symbol of brokenness, a symbol of all things dodgy. And yet the light was about a relationship with Jesus Christ, who himself is the light of Christ, we are told. And John, through his descriptions, time and time again, is urging you to imagine yourself in the place of the story, that you are there present as Jesus unfolds this extraordinary narrative. John's gospel, my friends, is a wonderful, wonderful gift. So perhaps it's no surprise here towards the beginning of John's gospel that Nicodemus comes from the shadows. Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. Here is Nicodemus, a Pharisee, we are told, a leader of the Jews, likely to be a member of the Sanhedrin. He's attached to an aristocratic family in Jerusalem. He's someone who it's worth knowing if you want to follow that kind of thing. And yet here at this moment, Nicodemus is found walking in the shadows, but being led by the Spirit of God into a place of encounter, an encounter with Jesus Christ. And throughout this story, God, the Holy Spirit, is leading this individual from the realms of darkness into the radiance of the presence of Jesus Christ in all of his light. This is John being beautiful and creative, where you're suddenly hit by the enormity of what it means to be in a relationship with Jesus when this encounter takes place. At one level, of course, perhaps we're not surprised that Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night, because this culturally was very acceptable. For a true teacher would be studying the scriptures at nighttime. A true teacher will be gathering those around him, students around him, in order to describe and go through the scriptures to help us understand God's relationship with his creatures. And so perhaps Nicodemus coming out of the shadows to Jesus by night has some sense of importance about him. Hey, I'm someone important. I'm going to meet someone else of importance. He's coming in the night because this is the time when Jewish leaders would have their conversations, study and discuss the ways of God together. But through this encounter, Nicodemus soon realizes that this is not, my friends, this is not an encounter of the meeting of like-minded minds. These two people are not on a par with each other. And soon, all but very soon, Nicodemus moves from the rank of being the teacher to being the pupil with Jesus as the teacher. And through this story, Nicodemus himself moves from the darkness into the light. So at the beginning, of course, perhaps with an air of deference, or perhaps even worse, a moment of cynicism, Nicodemus calls Jesus Rabbi. Perhaps he recognizes that Jesus is a teacher from God who carries out these signs. Perhaps Nicodemus is being a little bit sneering, just continuing to look down his nose at Jesus, thinking, who is this upstart that suddenly turned up? I need to show him a thing or two to show him what power and authority really do look like. Nevertheless, Jesus, of course, disregards this entree. He disregards this sense of flattery. And Jesus, of course, gets right to the point. There's no shilly-shallying here. His task, of course, is very clear: to move Nicodemus from the shadows to a place of brilliant light. There is no time to lose. You know, you can only see the kingdom of God if one is born from above. What an extraordinary thing to say. Nicodemus is scratching his head now, going, I don't quite understand this. We were supposed to be meeting minds, but you're using this crazy kind of language. What's going on? This metaphorical language is lost on Nicodemus, who's now demonstrably in the dark. How can you be born again? How might you climb back inside your mother? This does not make sense. Well, of course, I said earlier on about how John likes to lure people. And of course, Jesus, through his opening gambit, has now lured Nicodemus to a place where he wants him. It's time to go in. Not quite for the jugular just yet. That happens in a few moments' time. But he's got him to a place where he's thinking, aha, And so, Nicodemus is obviously quite curious in the midst of his darkness. It's at this point that he takes the place of the student, the listener, and Jesus recognizes that his curiosity now needs to be addressed. It's time for Jesus to explain something of the gospel to him. What is born of the flesh is flesh. What is born of darkness is darkness. But there's something miraculous of God at work here. The Spirit of God, of course, blows wherever he chooses. And it's in the power of the Spirit of God that we might be born again. Well, suddenly Nicodemus is getting even more confused now. Talk of liberation, transformation, new life comes from a relationship with the Holy Spirit as we're led into the presence of Jesus Christ. The final moment for Nicodemus, confusion suddenly bursts forth. But how can this be? Well, Jesus then has Nicodemus completely in the palm of his hand and he goes for the jugular. The light is now penetrating deep into the darkness. Oh, come on, Nicodemus! Have you been studying the scriptures for all this time and you think that you're all holy, all self-righteous and important? You're a teacher of Israel. Do you not understand these basic things about God? Now listen, listen carefully and I will explain. The trouble is, Nicodemus, says Jesus, you just talk about the things that you know about. You have no sense of imagination. You can only talk about things being in darkness because you live in darkness. How can you talk about anything else? And here I am talking to you about the gift of heaven with life and love in all of its fullness. I'm talking about how to live in the light of heaven. How on earth can you accept what I say about heavenly things when you can't even accept what I'm saying about earthly things? The things of this world. How on earth can you have the capacity to think further than the sight of your nose? And then Jesus recognizes, no doubt as Nicodemus' body has completely slumped, he's been knocked off his perch. Jesus then goes for the climax of this story. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, Jesus must be lifted up. And in being lifted up on the cross, those who believe in this will have eternal life. For God so loved the world, not to condemn the world, but God so loved the world that he was generous. He gave us Jesus, gave us this encounter. And everyone who believes in him won't perish, but will have eternal life. The ultimate in light, the ultimate in beautiful, beautiful light, that the world might be saved through him. An extraordinary journey where Nicodemus suddenly finds himself confronted by the light. My friends, as I read through this encounter, I believe that Jesus is also talking not just to Nicodemus, but to you and to me. And for rather than pity, dear Nicodemus, I wonder how we might learn from him. Nicodemus is wonderful, isn't he? The fact that he is open to be led by the Spirit of God from the realm of darkness into this extraordinary light presence in Jesus Christ. The fact that we meet Nicodemus once again at the end of the gospel story, when it's Nicodemus once again led by the Spirit of God in darkness, but he is so much now a child of light that he urges to take the body of Jesus to make sure there's a proper burial, paving the way out of the darkness of the crucifixion to the joys, the brilliance of the light of the resurrection. Nicodemus is a key person when it comes to the crucifixion narrative, leading you and I into that extraordinary place of encounter with light. But like Nicodemus, I wonder how you and I might learn from him in the fact that he is knocked on his perch and he creates this sense of a learner's heart. I wonder how you and I are being called to develop a learner's heart. All too often, it seems to me, in our London cultures of 21st century, we can demonstrate that we know all the answers, that we are right and others are quite simply wrong. Nicodemus probably had that point of view. He was well respected, looked up to. Yet an encounter with Jesus Christ enabled him to find a learner's heart, taking the role of the student. And in this desire to learn, he is transformed. So how hungry are you? How hungry are you to learn from Jesus Christ? How much of a sense of desire have you to learn from the great wealth of riches that Jesus wants to pour out upon you this very night? And how eager are you to learn from each other, to lay aside your vanity, and somehow in each other begin to discern something of truth as the Spirit speaks through you? How eager are you to have a learner's heart? Secondly, my friends, it seems to me that we are being called to live in the light as children of light, enabling encounters and indeed introductions with the risen Jesus Christ in the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit uses you. He blows wherever he chooses. But he wants to work through you. How beautiful is that? He wants to lead others into that place of the brilliance of the light relationship out of darkness through you, even at those moments when you don't even realize it. Leading others into the light. I wonder how day by day you can make this your prayer intention. Praying that this will be your privilege, that the Spirit of God will lead others from darkness into the beauty of light through you. And perhaps as you deeply pray about the role that you play in the building of the kingdom of God, perhaps there are some here who might even sense a calling to ordained ministry. If you sense that, I want to know. How much of a learner's heart have you? How much of your intention is to live as a child of light? But thirdly, my friends, I wonder how, particularly in the time of Lent, we might look very deeply at ourselves and, of course, our attitudes. Lent is a good time for self-examination. Are we outward looking, looking to the God who is generous, so that everyone who believes in Jesus might have eternal life, as we live out that love, which, let's face it, is so contagious? Are we heavenward people who are able to think of heavenly things and speak of heavenly things, whose song is Alleluia? Or like the first part of our story with Nicodemus, are we stuck? Stuck only in the cacophony of what we know, the deafening noise of 21st century London with all its clamour, where we draw people into the same cynical relentlessness with a propensity to break down. My friends, human beings to thrive and flourish need Christians to be confident Christians, because we all need hope. Hope as we see the Spirit of God leading people from darkness to light. So my prayer for you all tonight, my prayer for this church as I've been preparing to preach this night, my prayer for you all is that this gospel will come alive here at KXC. We know that we are meeting here tonight because we've been led by the Spirit of God, leading us into the presence of light, the presence of Jesus Christ. And we acknowledge the power of the Holy Spirit in transforming lives, changing communities, and indeed building the kingdom of God. We also acknowledge tonight the role of the Spirit in enabling us to pray as the Spirit lifts us into the relationship of the Father and the Son, and our own hearts are set free to cry, Abba, Father. And so we pray tonight in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit that each one of us will be led into the presence of Jesus Christ. And in that encounter, like Nicodemus being led into the Spirit, we too will be led into the light in all its fullness with others in the process. My friends, this is hard in 21st century London, of course, to be led, to be willed to be led out of darkness into light. And I wonder deep down how we might learn from the extraordinary nature of Nicodemus. I wonder how we might learn from him and his desire to want to talk about the scriptures with others in the evening. I know the temptation of another crap TV show on an evening might be all that great. But I wonder, with Lent now in full swing, we might gain some sort of confidence in our Lent journey from this reading, trusting in each other that the Spirit of God will speak to us through each other. And let's never forget in this reading that the Spirit of God who leads Nicodemus to the light of Jesus Christ is the same Spirit who leads Jesus to the cross and indeed Nicodemus to the cross. Because he is there as the body of Jesus is taken down. So when you come into contact with Nicodemus, you cannot divorce his living in the light from the cross, in the same way that none of us can divorce our living in the light of Jesus Christ from the cross, because it's the cross which enables us to live in the light. So may I suggest, my sisters and brothers, as I draw this talk to a close, may I suggest this Lent we work on these three important points. How much of a learner's heart have you got? Perhaps you need to pray that that learning sense, that sense of desire to learn more, may grow in the course of this Lenten journey. How open are we that the Spirit of God will work through us to lead others into the place of light? May we pray too about that. And finally, let's use this time wisely for some self-examination. In reality, do our attitudes depict the light of the gospel or the darknesses of a cynical world? My friends, I pray the Spirit of God will lead you to those places where he wants you to be. And I pray too that light may abound here at KXC. Amen.